Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. On the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all know we need them in operation today? That He is a Spirit. We need to get our mind renewed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. Can I tell you this? By the Spirit of God, He can renew your mind. But tonight, I'll just say this. How many of y'all believe that the church today, not this church, but the church as a whole, has lost its desire for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How many of y'all believe He gave them because He knew we needed them? The gifts of the Spirit bring a supernatural dimension of Jesus Christ to the church, and we see this in 1 Corinthians. And you might have grown up in a denominational church, I would name a few, but I'm going to be nice, and learned lots of word, but were ignorant to the move of the Spirit. You know what I've learned in reading commentary and things like that, and also I learned this when I was in Bible school, was there was a group of people out there, their name is cessationist. And you're like, Satanist? No, cessationist. And a cessationist is somebody, it comes from the root word of cease, and it's people that believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased after the apostolic age. Can I tell you today, it's still alive today. It's still the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you and me. Unfortunately today, a lot of charismatic churches even, who intellectually and doctrinally, I believe this, they believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they do not have them in manifestation. How many of y'all know I don't want to keep it on the bookshelf, but I want it to be evident in my life? Amen? And if you don't make room for the Holy Spirit to move in your behalf, He won't move. You have to make room for the Holy Spirit for His gifts to be in manifestation. Those of you that receive your tongue last week up here, I want to encourage you, do it every day. Do it in the shower. Do it around your kids. My kids hear me pray in the Holy Ghost all the time. Amen? And whatever you need to do to get the prime pumped, you may have to even make it up at times. Untie my bow tie. Who stole my Honda? Should have bought a Hyundai. Glory to God. But I promise you, you begin to prime that pump, the Spirit of God will begin to flow through you. And when you pray in the Spirit, you speak mysteries unto God. But Corinth, tonight, we're going to go over the history of the Church of Corinth. We're in Bible school, so I thought I'd have some fun tonight. All right? How many of y'all ready for some history, a history lesson? When I was studying back in September and October, actually this started back in August because I had some books when we were at, Pastor Brandy and myself were on our vacation trip to Florida. There's two books that I got by Rick Renner. One is A Light in Darkness and The Compromising Church. And those talk about all the seven churches that it lists in Revelation. How many of y'all were here during the series of Jesus when we talked about the seven churches? Any of y'all get anything out of that? And the history of those churches and how they are affecting to us today. We talked about Sardis. We talked about Thyatira and Philadelphia and Ephesus, the loveless church, the dead church, the godless church. And through all of that, I actually did some more study. I studied the church at Galatia. I studied the church at Thessalonica. Obviously, I studied the Ephesian church, the Roman church, but one that stood out to me the most was the church in Corinth. Because, in fact, after I got some context of that, it's like after you got context and history of Pergamum, you understand what he was saying to Pergamum. When you get context, even to the fact that you see that Matthew is writing to Jews, and in Jews, a format, you understand the book of Matthew a lot better when you understand Jews and their principles and how they do things. And so tonight, as we look at the history of Corinth, we see why they needed the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but you will also see why the church in America today and across the world needs the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. And so I'm excited to share with you tonight this history of Corinth. Corinth was filled with spiritual gifts, especially when you read the book of Acts and Paul's first and second letter to the Corinthians. You remember Priscilla and Aquila and the impact that Paul made there. But it was also the most carnal out of all the New Testament churches. In fact, when you read the book of Corinthians, do you see that almost Paul has a stern, almost a hard language with Corinthians than he does the book of Ephesians, even in the book of Galatians? How many of y'all read the first and second letter to the Corinthians? Let me see y'all's hands. All right. So, but there's some great stuff in there. In fact, how many of y'all been on the mornings when we've been going over 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you were bought with a price? I love 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it's not envious, it's not boastful, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or 1 Corinthians 5, 17, we are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, behold, everything has become brand new. There's so many great texts that we see in 1 and 2 Corinthians. And tonight, I hope it opens your eyes of why he talks to them the way that he does. But over the years, there have been people that have taught, wrote documentation, or paralleled this church to be carnal because of its spiritual gifts. I've heard this before. Now, how in the world did they come up with that reality? Why would God give spiritual gifts to make people crazy, silly, carnal, immature? How many of y'all know he breaks us of that? God gives us spiritual gifts to make you sharper. God gives you spiritual gifts to give you power. God gives you spiritual gifts so you can see things that are ahead. God gives you spiritual gifts to bring peace, comfort to your life. So instead of looking at it that way, this really should build your faith. If God wanted a carnal society to have spiritual gifts, how many of y'all believe it's for us today? It gives us hope. God will move anywhere where people have a heart that is open to the movement of the Spirit of God. But why were the Corinthians alleged to be the most carnal of all churches in the New Testament? First of all, you need to understand this. The gospel came into a very dark pagan society. So when Paul is communicating with this church in Corinth here, he is writing to a group of people that have brought a lot of earthly baggage with them. Go with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've been at verse 19, but let's look at verses 9 through 11. I'm going to go ahead and read it out of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God?" How many of y'all know it's important that we live righteous, holy lives? It says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate by perversion, nor those who participate in homosexuality." How many of y'all know that is a sin? I'm going to say that again. It is a sin. "You will not inherit the kingdom of God if you're in practicing that. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, whose words are used as weapons to abuse, insult, humiliate, intimidate, or slander, nor swindlers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." He's talking to them in predictive text, like to them. "For you believe, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God." And so he brings up some big things here. He brings up sexually immoral. He brings up idolaters and adulterers, effeminate, homosexuality, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, revilers, humiliators, intimidators, slanderers, swindlers. All of these things inside this particular text. So you need to know this. They brought all that baggage with them. And why did they? Corinth, pay attention here, was an ancient city that had been put down by Rome in the year of 146 BC. And the leader at the time, he saw it as a rebellious city, and it was known for its rebellion. So in 146 BC, they squashed the city. This is a beautiful city inside of Greece. It was a great place. It was a great location. But the leader at the time, he squashed the city because of their rebellious ways. So it rebelled against the authority of Rome, and they squashed it. And they stayed that way until 44 B.C., so almost 100 years, it lay dormant, just a pile of rubble. And then Julius Caesar comes along. He began to reconstruct it, and because he knew geographically it would benefit the Roman Empire because of its location. And so history tells us this, that in the beginning of its reconstruction, no one wanted to move there because it was in such ruin. So Julius Caesar made an incentive for people to start heading that way. The incentive was primarily given to former slaves that were freed. It was given to legionnaires. It was given to former soldiers and sailors. It was given to rough, tough, crude men. It was also given, history tells us, to poor people. And those that would never have a great opportunity in life in other places and other societies, the incentive was this: if you would relocate to Corinth. So he's talking to these slaves that had just became free. He's talking to these legionnaires. He's talking to these soldiers and old sailors, rough, tough people, poor people. He says, if you move there to this ancient city that I'm trying to rebuild, we will give you land. You will become the founding fathers of the city. That is something that these people would have never had anywhere else. And because the incentive was so good, they began relocating there. So already we know that the foundational city was rebellious. Now we're rebuilding it with a people of certain mindset, and they would become the moral founding fathers of the city of Corinth. Y'all paying attention? Now the plot thickens. Dun, dun, dun. Look at your neighbor and say, dun, dun, dun. The ancient city has been dedicated to the goddess Aphrodite. Aphrodite. It's the goddess of sex. It's the goddess of prostitution, streetwalkers. In fact, Julius Caesar, he believed that he was a direct descendant of the goddess Aphrodite. He believed that. That he was born of Aphrodite. He truly believed that with all of his heart, history tells us. So when he reestablished and took steps to rebuild the city of Corinth, he felt that it was necessary to dedicate the city again to the goddess Aphrodite. In fact, history tells us more that there was a hill right outside the city where he had constructed a temple on the side of the hill where people could go worship Aphrodite. And all throughout the city, there was little temples where you could go and worship there as well. So what do you think happened? The sex industry began to flourish in the city of Corinth. Now mix that with the kind of people that were sent there to reestablish it. Sailors, freed slaves, the poor, legionnaires trying to make it new in a city. Now they are dedicating the city to the sex god. In fact, history tells us that in the ancient world, this is where people would go for a sex vacation. Its location was everything of where it was in Greece. It was known as a port city. It had a port on the west that received ships from Rome. It had a port on the east that received shipments from Asia. These ships were also loaded down with people that were coming to the city just for sex. They had a slogan: what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. I'm not making this up. I read this in a history book. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. Hello. Is this hitting home yet, y'all? You could do things in Corinth you couldn't do back home. People went there because people back home didn't know their secret life that happened in the city of Corinth. Now, those of you that have read the book of Corinthians, this has really opened your eyes, isn't it? They had a, y'all ready? The plot thickens more. The city was also known for its drunkenness. It was so bad that if you were a drunk anywhere in the Roman Empire, history tells us that you were referred to as a Corinthian. What a reputation. Even in theatrics, the drunk in the play, no matter where they were throughout the Greek and Roman Empire, they were known and referred to on stage as the one who is playing the Corinthian. So let's review. We have a city of rebellion that has been crushed. It's reestablished by reprobates. It's dedicated to the goddess Aphrodite. And sex vacation and drunks are all over the city. Also, right outside the city was a famous stadium. In this stadium, every 2 years was the Panhellenic Games. Panhellenic Games were marked by competition and rivalry. The city of Corinth was the host city for those games. Corinth, over time, became a city of rivalry, and fierce competition. It even showed up in the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. It says, "But I urge you, believers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in full agreement in what you say, and that there be no divisions or factions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your way of thinking and in your judgment. For I have been informed about you, my brothers and sisters, by those of Chloe's household, that there are quarrels and factions among you." Are you beginning to see why the Corinthians needed the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Now let me go ahead and put this out there further. Are you beginning to see why America and the church today needs the Holy Spirit? Are you beginning to see a parallel of the Corinthian church and the church we have today? Are you seeing it? I hope you see now why the Apostle Paul talked to the Corinthians in his first and second letter to them in a very stern voice. He is very coarse. He's very coarse. If you read the books, the First and Second Corinthians, very coarse in his conversations and the things that they're dealing with. It's because they were coarse individuals. They were rough, tough. They'd been battered, bruised. They were slaves at one time. He spoke to them in a tone that they would understand. He knew who they were, and he knew who his audience was. But there's more. Because it was a new city that was just being established, swindlers and charlatans began to fill the streets trying to make a fast buck or a fast dollar. Extortionists, cheating people and making a fortune real fast off of them because of the stadium, because of the type of people that were there. Let's read this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" It says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers." We're seeing why he's talking to fornicators here. Why he's talking to idolaters, why he's talking to adulterers, "nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So I'm going to ask you again. Are you beginning to see why the Corinthians needed the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are you beginning to see why our children need the gifts of the Holy Spirit? His name is Holy Spirit. He comes to produce holiness among us and rid us of carnality. I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, well, let's just go there. This is Bible school. I think it's that. No, not 4 and verse 4. 4 and verse 7. "But we have this precious treasure, the good news about salvation, in unworthy earthen vessels, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be from God and not from ourselves." It goes back to 1 Corinthians 6, 19. "Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" See, as much as they are in carnality, when the Spirit of God showed up, he reminded them that now, by the power of the Spirit of God, there is a treasure in terrible, terrible human beings. There is now a treasure in people that were caught up in sex vacations. There's a treasure that's caught up in rivalry and in all these different disputes. I got good news. God moved mightily among these fleshly people. God's grace began to show up and show off. They experienced the mighty eruptive power of God. This tells me that God can move anywhere and among any people if they have a heart that is open to the Spirit of God. If carnality was something that would eliminate you from being used, pay attention here, the Corinthians would have been first on the list to be eliminated. But they weren't, because they had a heart that was open. The truth is, the gifts of the Holy Spirit began to reveal their flaws. How many of y'all know the gifts of the Spirit will begin to reveal your flaws? The gifts of the Holy Spirit began to reveal what needed to be changed among them. Sin, which may have remained hidden in other churches, could not remain hidden in Corinth, because the revelatory gifts of the Holy Spirit began to move in the city of Corinth, and those things were exposed by the Spirit of God to cleanse them, change them, and clean them up. They needed the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we need them too. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Those of you that were on this morning, I went over this because this was in my heart and in my spirit. I hope you're seeing something tonight about the city of Corinth. How many of y'all know that sex is a problem in our nation today? How many of y'all know that? I mean, when he's talking about a stadium where rivalry came into the church, I mean, you know, Pastor Brandy and myself were talking about a fence. I could, you know, who likes it in here cold? All right. Who likes hot weather? We all disagree on some things, right? And it's easy for us to be offended when you don't believe the way that I believe. Like right now, I am in my happy place of hot weather. Come on, somebody. The Lord loves me. I love sweat dripping off my nose. I don't like to freeze. People say, well, you can only take so many clothes off. I said, just watch me. I'll be shooing in a Speedo if you let me, but praise the Lord. Just kidding. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but I want you to see something tonight. Through all the things that I showed, the Corinthian church is not an anomaly. It's a pattern. I'm going to say that again. The Corinthian church is not an anomaly, it's a pattern. I'm going to say that one more time. It's not an anomaly, it's a pattern. What is an anomaly? Anomaly is like when you're in a family that's never had twins and you throw some twins. It's like it never happens, it's just a fluke deal. God bless you with two children instead of one. But those of you that maybe have aunts and uncles like myself, it was very possible for Pastor Brandy and myself to throw twins because it's on my side of the family easily. Or maybe you have one, you've never had red hair in your family, like probably in John's family. Have y'all ever had any red hair? So if y'all threw a redhead, that would be an anomaly. But throwing black-headed children, it's a pattern. Am I making some sense to you? That it means it's supposed to happen. What I see about the Corinthian church, it's not an anomaly, that it's just He just gave it to the Corinthian church. It's a pattern that the church needs to live by today. Especially in all the things that they were up against, and all the dedicated to the sex god. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, I thank my God always for you because of the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus. Now, first off, I just want to point out this word grace, and those of you that were on in the morning, you need to understand this. This word grace here, when you study it in the King James and the word that it goes back to in the Greek, it was actually like a spell in the Old Testament times. If you had charis or charis, however you could say it, grace was something that a spell came over somebody so big that it changed the way they talked and the way they acted. Now, I hope some of you heard me tonight. Grace, when a spell was given over them from a god, they called it charis in the Old Testament. A spell came over them so heavy that it changed the way they talked and the way that they acted. Everybody saw something different in them when grace touched them. The reason I'm telling you that today is because grace has been ran through the mud in the church today. There's people that live like Corinthians and say that I'm covered by grace. No, grace, you talk different and you act different. I'm going to say that again. You talk different and you act different when you've been touched by grace. The grace of God ought to change you. The grace of God ought to open you up to living by the word of God. And so he says, I thank my God always for you because of the grace of God which is given you in Christ Jesus, so that in everything you are enriched in him in all speech. Everybody say speech. And in all knowledge. That means you should talk different, but it also means in the gifts of the Spirit that comes with speech, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. It's talking about the gifts by the Spirit of God in knowledge, word of knowledge, word of prophecy. In this way, our testimony about Christ was confirmed and established in you. Confirmed. How many of y'all got that this morning when I was talking about it? Confirmed. Concrete. See, before the Spirit of God, these are just words about Christ healing us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when the Spirit of God gets involved, like it did in the Corinthian church, he confirmed the gift of Jesus. Confirming means he made it concrete, that it was no longer the one who is the healer. Now through the Spirit of God, you can see healing manifestation in your life. Am I making sense? Now we don't just see him as the multiplier. Now through the Spirit of God working through us, we can have the multiplier. He will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Give and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give it to your bosom. Amen? And so now as he starts it off in this church at the Corinthians, or these people, the Corinthians, the church at Corinth, in this way our testimony about Christ was confirmed and established in you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts. He wants them not to lack in it, as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will also confirm you to the end. Everybody say to the end. How many of y'all believe we're coming up on some end of some things? How many of y'all believe we'll see the coming of the Lord? I believe we will. We're coming to the end. And how much more do we need the gifts of the Spirit in the end of day age? Blameless and beyond reproach in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I'm making sense to you tonight of this church of Corinthians. I'm going to ask you again, are you beginning to see why the Corinthians needed the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are you beginning to see why it's important that you and I have the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We can parallel so much of what happened at the church at Corinth or the city of Corinth to what is happening in our lives today. So many things. How many of y'all believe we live in a rebellious society? They tell you, like billboards and things like that, it won't get attention unless it's sexual. Commercials. How many of y'all noticed? There's so many things that are sexual. We live in a time today where it's okay even for believers to be drunkards and drinkers. I've told you this story before. My neighbor, we went on vacation somewhere. He said, I love to go there. I go up and down those streets. It's a guy who goes to a church here in town, highly involved. He said, do you guys like to go there? Do you guys like to drink? And it came out this quick. I said, no, I'm a Christian. Come on. I'm a believer. We see the church at Corinth here, they dealing with the same thing. They had places where it brought rivalry, where it brought competition. How many of y'all know here in America today, that's where people go? We like rivalry. We like competition, but the problem is it's brought it inside of the church. There's some of y'all in here, you're rivals with one another. I'm speaking the truth in love right now. You rival with one another. We need to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to this church brashly for a reason. How many of y'all know at one time you were a slave to sin? Just like the church at Corinth, they had people that, what was Corinth based on? It was based on people that had just became free. How many of y'all are people that just become free? It had people, it had reprobates. What is the house of God today? We are all people that were once reprobates. We were all lost, astray. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit because the gifts bring the presence of Christ right into the church. The gifts establish our understanding of Jesus. Can I tell you this? When the gifts begin to operate among us, it's supernatural. He helps us to partner with Jesus. It brings us into fellowship with God on a very practical, spiritual level. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So these people here, they were truly saved. And what he's saying, I believe this. We're not secessionists because we don't believe that it ended there. I believe that we're just like the Corinthian people. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to give us more power. He gives us the Spirit of God to walk in love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen? He gives us the Spirit of God for all of those things. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, just real quick. I know we've been in 1 Corinthians, but it's the same kind of thing that happened. Just because this has been fresh on my heart. And you, this is the same way with Corinthians, same way with the book Ephesians, the loveless church here, dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins. How many of y'all believe you were a corpse walking, dead man walking? And which you were once walked, you were following the ways of this world in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now working the disobedient, the unbelieving who fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once, he's not speaking French here. He's talking about me and you. How many of y'all believe that? All of us. We all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Corinthians lived in the passions of their flesh, indulging the desire of human nature without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of the sinful mind. We were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind. How many of y'all believe the things that God has done for you? You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But verse 4, but God. But God. Say, but God. But God. I love it. But God. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. Thank God for his Spirit living on the inside of us. But God, rich in mercy because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead, separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. As we saw this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, going back to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are now a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. He didn't put a Band-Aid on you. He didn't put glue on you. He threw away the tape of the old you. How many of y'all thankful he threw away the old tape? He threw it in the fireplace. It's gone. It's burned up. It's not coming back. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. He created. His Spirit now lives on the inside of you. So just like the church at Corinth, the same thing happened with them. That's where we get it, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's where we get 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that that the temple lives on the inside of you? Highly decorated shrine. There's a highly decorated shrine on the inside of you. So if there's a highly decorated shrine living in you, if there's diamonds in you, if there's rubies in you, if there is gold in you, if there is silver in you, let other people enjoy the gold. This is why he's telling the Corinthian church, you need the gifts of the Spirit, because there's dead people still out there in sin. There's still drunkards out there. I'm trying to wake up the church tonight. There's still drunkards in Amarillo, Texas. Amen? There's still rivalry in Amarillo, Texas. There is still sex goddess in Amarillo, Texas. I know y'all are shocked, but I'm telling you, our young people deal with this all the time. It's on television. So what he's telling them, you're a new creation in Christ. You need to tap in to the treasure that's on the inside of you. There is gifts in you that can bring freedom to other people like it's brought it to you. It's signs, it's wonders, it's miracles. Come on, it's the gifts of healing. It's the gifts of prophecy. I'm telling you, signs and wonders, those are connected because the sign of something that no man could do on this earth will leave people in wonder, is what it means. The sign of what only God can do will leave people in wonder. And you know what people do in wonder? They want more. They want more. You give them diamonds, they want gold. You give them gold, they want silver. You give them silver, they want rubies. I'm here to tell you, you tap into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there is diamonds in you. I'm telling you, there is spiritual gifts. The laying on of hands still works today. Amen? The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So it's very important that, as we saw last week, we renew our mind. But just like the church at Corinth needed the gifts of the Spirit, how many of y'all believe? I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you believe the church at Corinth needed the gifts of the Spirit? How many of y'all believe the church today needs the gifts of the Spirit? You guys learn anything tonight? You guys see anything tonight? I know you'll look at the book of Corinthians a whole lot differently than you did before, but I'm trying to wake you up to it's not much different than the world we're living today. The gifts of the Spirit are for today. Whoever told you that they weren't, they're a liar. They're crazy. Or as Pastor said last week, they're stupid. Amen? They're stupid. I don't know about you. I want more boldness. I want more power. I want more authority. The Spirit of God will give it to you. So stir up the gift. Those of you that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit last week, stir up the gift. Stir it up. Stir it up. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it is a light unto our path. Lord, I pray that tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that we see how important it is. Lord, I pray that tonight that there was revelation that the temple of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, that we were bought with a price. We were bought with a price. And so, Lord, the revival that you did in Corinth, we pray, Lord, as we tap into the spiritual gifts, God, I pray that the same revival and the same miracle-working power, oh, the same revelation that happened, oh, God, I can just see it of how you turn such rebellion into riches. How you turned it. So, Lord, I pray that by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit works through us, God, I pray that family members would see the grace of God that's hit our lives in our words and in our actions change because of the spiritual gifts flowing through us. Lord, I pray for words of wisdom. Oh, words of understanding, knowledge and understanding. I pray for a prophecy speaking through us. I pray for healings to be manifested through us. Oh, God, may we have concrete revelation in Jesus' name. Concrete revelation in Jesus' name. Confirm and establish it. In this way, our testimony about Christ was confirmed and established in you. May we not just read about it on the papers, but God, in the Word, but God, may it be manifested through us. Lord, if you can use anyone, Lord, use us. If you can use anyone, use us. God, we're intentional to tap in to these spiritual gifts. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.